In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. How close is too close? If you're like me, you have boundaries and comfort zones and personal bubbles of one size or another. Most people can sense these boundaries, and these boundaries contain everything and cover everything from physical proximity to touch to conversation topics to word choice. Like lunch with a client is different from a birthday party with family, is different from coffee hour in the narthex. Most people understand this and they respect your space and your privacy. But God doesn't seem to get it. He comes right into your life, gets right into your business, and makes no apologies. He makes us uncomfortable because he says uncomfortable things. He asks uncomfortable questions. He gets uncomfortably close. Intimate, even. I mean, just ask Abraham. Circumcision is an intimate matter. But why should you get uncomfortable? I mean, what are you afraid of? God has given you his promise to bless you and to keep you, to love you and to forgive you, to give you life with a capital L, and to be your God, all for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. And you believed him. Just like Abraham, you believed the Lord, and he counted it to you as righteousness. For your whole life, God has been faithful to you in all of these things. Surely he's trustworthy. Surely of anyone on earth, he's the one we should feel most safe letting into every aspect of our lives, even the most intimate. Yet we don't always want him to get too close. We're afraid of the questions that we must then ask ourselves. Is my life in God's promise evident in my life in the flesh? That is, does what I believe have any effect on how I act or who I am? What was in my heart as I looked at my neighbor that way? What was in my words? What did I say when their back was turned? What was I thinking in the dark last night? Why didn't I help when I could have? Why didn't I say anything when I should have? Can I really believe that God didn't see me do that? Didn't hear me say that? Didn't know I thought that? How can I still call myself a Christian after what I've done? After what I'm still doing? You see, we're afraid that God will see what we're doing. He'll see what we really are inside. Even though we may pretend otherwise, try to hide what we've done, try to hide who we are, we know he's seen us. He's caught us in the act. We know that our lives and our hearts and our desires are all laid bare before him. And we're ashamed. When it's all out in the open, we're afraid of what we think he might say. That we're ugly. That we're inadequate. That we aren't worth his attentions. We're afraid that he might reject us for what he sees or what he doesn't see. That he'll take back his promises after all. That he won't forgive. That he won't bless. That he won't bring us to himself in heaven, but leave us here alone in our shame. So now what? Do we just hang our heads and weep at the exposure? Do we get angry and try to cover up those places where we're most vulnerable? Or do we trust God to come near, to come even closer? Do we trust God to touch our lives,
touch our hearts where they're most sensitive? Do you trust him?
Abraham's trust in God was tested many times. He had been promised an heir, promised a son, one to carry on that promise that God would bless the whole world through his offspring, giving him descendants as plentiful as the dust of the earth, who would then dwell in a land of their own and rejoice to have the Lord as their God. Every day that passed, every year that Abraham grew older, made that promise seem farther and farther out of reach. But when Abraham was 99 years old, his life in God's promise was made evident in his life in the flesh in a very specific, very intimate way. Circumcision. This sign of the promise was for him and for his sons and for all the males of his household, including those bought with his money, and so they all received it. Abraham's flesh was removed from him, and he and Sarah were promised a son, Isaac, through whom God's promise of blessing to all nations would be passed down. Every time they came together, the sign of God's promise was present. In their moments of greatest intimacy, God was with them to bless them. And the pain that Abraham endured, his trust in God during the days and the years of waiting, were not in vain. God is faithful to his promises. He was faithful to Abraham. When Abraham was 100 years old, the son of the promise was born. This is the son who would bear that promise in his flesh. This is the son who would be offered up as a sacrifice. This is the son whom Abraham, his father, would receive back from the dead. 8 days after he was born, they called his name Isaac, the name given by God before he was conceived in the womb. Isaac would then pass on this promise to his son Jacob, whom God renamed Israel, the father of the 12 tribes. A whole nation now, descended from Abraham, bore in their flesh the promise that Abraham received. It would be with them every day of their lives, in every circumstance. It would be with them when they were faithful. It would be with them when they were unfaithful. It would be with them when they rejoiced, when they wept, when they feasted, and when they hungered. No matter what they did, the promise remained. There was no going back to who they were before. It would continue to be with them as they passed it down from generation to generation, waiting for that promise to be fulfilled. They waited in Canaan. They waited in Egypt. They waited in the wilderness. They waited in Israel and in Judah. They waited in Jerusalem. They waited in Bethlehem. And their trust was not in vain. God is faithful to his promises. He was faithful to Israel. 2 millennia after Abraham first believed, the son of the promise was born. This is the son who would bear the promise in his flesh. This is the son who would be offered up as a sacrifice. This is the son whom God, his father, would receive back from the dead. 8 days after he was born, this son was circumcised, and they called his name Jesus, the name given by God before he was conceived in the womb. 30 years after he was born, Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan. His father claimed him from the heavens. "You are my beloved son. With you I am well pleased." And then he embarked on a life of perfect faithfulness and righteousness, a life of perfect trust in the Father, trust he clung to even as he prayed in Gethsemane, even as he was led away to be condemned. He was stripped, mocked, beaten, exposed, and nailed naked to a cross. The promise that he bore in the flesh laid bare for the whole world to see. And even then, he trusted our Father. Even then, as he bore our shame and our guilt, when he suffered the consequences of our sin and our faithlessness, suffered hell and death for our sake. And his trust was not in vain. God is faithful to his promises. He was faithful to Jesus. 3 days after he died, the Son of Promise was resurrected, and a new age began. The old promise is fulfilled, a new promise is given. And this promise is not just for Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, or Israel. It's not just for those who share Abraham's blood. It's for you who share Abraham's faith. All of you who believe God's promises. You who were brought into the house of God, who were bought not with gold or silver, but with Jesus' holy, precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. You need never more be ashamed or afraid. Jesus has seen your shame. He has seen your sin. And yet he's forgiven you for all of it. He's covered your shame with himself. He clothes you with his life, with his faithfulness, with his fulfillment in his own flesh of all of the promises of God to mankind. He comes near to you and he unites you with himself so that you may share in the inheritance of grace he received and which he now gives to you freely. Risen and ascended, our Lord Jesus gives us a promise better than circumcision. Baptism into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. No longer do we trace our salvation through our fathers, but through Jesus, who made himself our brother. No longer do you just receive the promise of God, you receive God himself. And according to this promise, our flesh is removed from us, not with blade and blood, but with water and word. In your baptism, God renamed you. He gave you his own name. Your Father claimed you from the heavens. You are my beloved child. With you I am well pleased. He made you a holy nation, founded in Christ, all bearing his name and his life and his forgiveness, each of you bearing the likeness of his Son. And he will be with us every day of our lives. In every circumstance. He'll be with us when we are faithful. He'll be with us when we are unfaithful. He'll be with us when we rejoice, when we weep, when we feast, and when we hunger. No matter what we do, God and his promise remain. There's no going back to who you were before. Your old flesh, your old Adam, your sinful nature, that has been removed. You are cut off from it forever. So don't try to cling to it still. Try to carry it with you as if you could just go back to your old sins. Simply slip back into your old sinful life and habits and companions whenever you wanted. Abraham was told that any man who would not be circumcised would be cut off from the people of God. This truth still remains. You must depart from the flesh, or else depart from the family of faith. Don't fool yourself and think you can do both. Now, this is the darker reason that we fear God coming too near. We're afraid that he will take the sinful desires of our flesh away from us. That's what makes the confession of our sin so painful. Why we tremble as we expose our sins to him. Why we cringe at the thought of his touch in our lives, in our hearts. But dear Christians, do not fear when your God comes close. Trust in your God when he comes near. I mean, look at what your God has done for you. Look at what he's done to you. He shaped all of history for the sake of your salvation. He's preserved an entire nation through slavery and war and exile to bring forth this one man who could save you. He was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, took on your flesh. He came to us then to forgive you your sins and to give you life. And he comes near to you today to do the same. Your trust is not in vain. God is faithful to his promises. He's faithful to you. He's gentle in his work. He cuts away your sinful flesh, your dying body, but he replaces it with his perfect and eternal life and resurrection. He doesn't say that you're ugly, but he clothes you with his own glory and majesty. He doesn't say that you're inadequate, but he honors you with the crown of righteousness. He doesn't question your worthiness of his attentions, but is forever hearing and answering your prayers. He will never reject you for what he sees. For all the Father sees when he looks at you is his child, blameless and pure, forgiven and lovely. And he will never leave you alone, but he will be with you always, even to the end of the age. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand to sing.